The seven bowls of God's wrath. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. Then the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the water say, you are just in these judgments, O Holy One, you who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. And I heard the altar respond, yes, Lord Almighty, true and just are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and his water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world. Go gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and on the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, it is done. Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth, so tremendous was the quake. Great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her a cup filled with the wine of fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on the people, and they cursed God on the account of the plague of the hail, because the plague was so terrible.
Thank you. So last week we learned about the temple opening, right? And here comes six angels that are going to release, seven angels, that is going to release the last plagues or the last judgment from God. Let me just first do the first verse and then we'll go from there. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out on earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. And so last week we learned that this is the last to happen, right? And just to quickly go through it, there's so many interpretations about the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Bowls. What is it in Afrikaans, hey? Bakke. You know, you're going to have to bear with me this morning. It doesn't want to work so like it. Okay. So I have a little thing about what happens in every one, because there's seven in every. There's seven seals. Remember, the lamb only could open the seals, and he will speak, and the seal will be open, and the horse come, the different colors, and they would have different things happening. Then the seventh trumpet contains seven, the seventh seal contains seven trumpets, right? Okay? And then we have the seven different trumpets happening. And then the last trumpet then has the seven bowls. Bowls. Okay. So not everyone sees it like that necessarily. So there's different interpretations. Some people actually believe that all of these different things are just one thing. Okay? Others believe that the trumpets and the bowls are the same thing. But when you go and you look at the what is first, second, third, those kind of things, there's a lot of similarity in it, but there's also a lot of differences. Okay, so I actually wanted to print this out for you, but I forgot. I'm so sorry. I'll try and remember next week. It's very interesting to go and look and be reminded what's the seals, what's the trumpets, and what's the bowls. Okay. So the loud voice, it can be God's voice. It doesn't really say. We can't really interpret it, but it can be God. It can be one of the living creatures. But basically what's happening now is because they say to all of them at once, go and pour out the bowls, it can be interpreted that this is going to happen quickly after each other. Okay, it's not like now you, like in the other chapters. It's like, okay, you seven angels, there you go pour it out. So it might be happening quite quickly after each other. Second verse. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. Now, if you remember, the first four trumpets that we learned about, what was it, chapter 8 and 9, the first four was more focused on the environment, right? The storm, the bitterness in the waters, the darkness. But now, the first four here is basically focused on the person itself. Okay, so now what's happening now is that the people are getting sores on their bodies. Okay, and imagine all of us have the same illness, and it's very painful. We are going to be a horrible group of people, okay? Because when you're in pain, you're not very friendly. Oh, let me say it like this. When you're sick, you're not so very friendly. I don't think I've been so friendly the last few months, you know? It's just that you don't feel so nice, but now if you have pain and, you know, and sores and things, they say it's going to be a terrible time to be around, and it's not going to be like anyone is going to have something nice to say. So this is the first thing that happens, and it's very painful. Some people believe that it might be like a germ, so like COVID. Everyone's getting the sores. Others believe it can be a chemical thing, because there's chemical war or whatever. I don't know. I stick to, you know, the sores in the body. Everyone's going to get it. However that is, God has his way of doing this. Okay. So in verse, what they also say is, and last week we said, remember, some people believe the rapture happened before this, right? So for there to be believers at this stage isn't really, I don't want to say possible, but we can't really see that there can be believers at this stage. Okay? But the one guy says, there is people at that stage that's going to not want the mark of the beast. Okay? But they're not necessarily saved. So there are still people, or they believe there will still be people on the earth that sort of was the rebels, you know, but they don't have the mark of the beast, but they're also not saved. Okay, so when you look at this, what it says in that verse is that only the people who have the mark of the beast will have the sores. Okay, so why would that say that? Because there are people who do not have the mark of the beast. Okay, so just an interesting point there. Then verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse. And every living thing died that was in the sea. Now, just listen to this. This is not blood. It became like blood. You know, when I cut myself, it's like running, what. This became like blood of a corpse, a dead person. It's blood. I don't know how else to explain that, but, you know, it's just, it's not good, okay? So now you have a sea where everything dies, okay? Remember, in one of the others, not everything died. Was it a third or something that died? Okay, so now everything in the sea died. So it goes from a sea that is a life giving full of life place to an absolute like dead thing. Okay? And of course, remember that this influences everything. Food, transport, all those kinds of things. Just to think beyond that. Some people believe that this is not like a literal picture. For all these bowls being poured out, many people believe it's not literal. But because there's so much correlation with other plagues and things, especially in Egypt and so on, that we can actually believe that this will be literal. Okay, but you can make up your own mind. Sorry, I have some issues here this morning. Verse 4, the third angel poured out his bowl in the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Okay, so again, the fresh water becomes blood. So we have the sea where all the food, the life is, corpse, blood. Now we have the rivers becoming blood. What does that mean? You have no water to drink. Okay, so now all of a sudden there's no water to drink. Okay, verse 5, and I heard the angel in charge of the water say, just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, and for you brought these judgments. So now all of a sudden there's a bit of a break in the bowls being poured out, right? And I actually love these interruptions because they're there for a reason. Like God is putting these interruptions there, and the angel, and I love this, that it says the angel in charge of the waters. You know, so he's the minister of water. What do you say? He's the minister of waters, or whatever you want to say. The water department, okay. And you will see many times in the Bible that it does speak about angels being in charge of different things. So I just love these little nuggets that they put in here. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, what did he say? He didn't say, oh no, Lord, what are you doing to the water? He's saying, no, just are you. You are just, Lord. What you are doing here is just. Remember, we spoke about this last week. It can be so quickly to be like, why are you doing, Lord? What? No, what you are doing is just because you are the Holy One. And I was thinking about it this morning. You know, say each one of us get a chance to administer God's justice. God doesn't do it from a place of hatred. He does it because he's holy and because he's just. So whenever we want to see people, you know, God must just be just. Let's just watch that we don't do it from a place of we hate them. We can hate the actions and the spirit behind it, but then be careful not to want someone to go through something because we have a hating towards that person. Does it make sense? So when we read this, we don't read it from a place of, yes, God, get them. Type of thing. No, you are just, and they have not listened, and you want your kingdom to come. And at the end, this is to bring the devil down, okay? The Antichrist kingdom or whatever, this is to like say, sorry, God reigns above this, above it all, okay? You're with me, does it make sense? And then it adds, and it says, who is, who was, for you brought these judgments. And I love it. It's not, we spoke about this last week, it's not someone else that made the decision of the bowls coming. It's God who makes the judgments. And this morning while we're praying, we just said, you know, in this world we can get entangled with the grace message. And Panasha played us some lies and truths and whatever. It's like, oh, you can help yourself and da da da, and just be happy. As long as you're happy, it's okay. You know, but the thing is that it's not okay. It's not about happiness. You know, God is the judge, and whatever we do will be judged, isn't it? And here, this angel, he's just like, Lord, you just made the seed blood. You just made the rivers blood. But I just want to proclaim so that everyone will hear that you are just. And you are the Holy One, and what you did is right because you do the judgments. Okay. It will help if I stick to my notes. Okay. So the one guy says, you are just. God's judgments are perfectly loving, wise, just, and never too severe. It's never too severe because we won't make it. Okay. He says, and the one who was and is, the angel emphasizes God's eternal nature because only by understanding the big picture of God's eternal plan can we understand the necessity of God's temporal judgments to awaken men to eternal salvation. Oh, he has to say how big God is so that we don't just look at this moment, but God's mercy and greatness over everything so that we understand the bigger picture. Okay, then we go to verse 6. It says, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. So it's still the angels speaking here. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I just love this one guy, how he interpreted. He said, God makes them drink the very thing they thirsted for, blood. God's justice demands that blood be poured out because they poured out the blood of the saints, the martyrs. Okay, so he's just, and we see this in other places in the Bible as well. When things happen to people, think of the guy in Esther, Haman? Yeah. You know, he wanted to hang Mordecai, and at the end he was hanged. Things like that happening. But this angel is saying, yeah, you know, they shed blood, and now their blood is going to be spilled. Okay. I'm going through this quickly. Are you okay with that? Otherwise, we might be here for longer than an hour. And then verse 7 says, and I heard the altar saying, can an altar speak? An altar can speak, but an altar can't speak. what does that mean, the altar was saying? So when we see that, we must refer back to other scriptures. And if you remember in chapter 6, I think, we spoke about the martyrs under the altar crying out. Okay? And so we can interpret this as the martyrs speaking. Another guy interpreted this, he said, no, it's the prayers of the saints on the altar. Okay, so it can also be the prayers of the saints crying out. So they say the altar is saying, yes, Lord God. So they're responding to what this angel has said. They say, yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. So they're just confirming it. They're just agreeing with what's just been said. Okay. Maybe I'm going off track now, but whenever we pray, I love it when I pray and someone says, yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. You know, because we are agreeing. And God says there's power in agreement. Okay. So when we pray, we listen to what other people are praying. We're not thinking, oh, what must I pray now? You know, we're like listening and we're agreeing with it. Yes. You know, so when someone prays, don't be afraid to say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Or whatever you want to say. Because there's power and agreement. And even here we see it. The altar, the martyrs, the saints, the prayers are saying, yes, Lord, we agree. When you agree, it's like double power. Hey? It's like spitting on top of each other. I don't want to say a frog in my throat because we're going to learn about frogs and demonic spirits now. It's not Egypt. Okay, verse 8 says, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. Ugh. Guys, do you know how hot the sun is? And so now, instead of taking the sun away, he's actually bringing more sun, scorching sun. The sun is hotter. Now, in our days, we can be like, yeah, it's because the ozone, what? Yeah, and global warming, and who knows what, and whatever. But I don't think it's going to happen over time. It's a thing that happens now. That's just my opinion. Okay, and the one guy also actually said, if I can see it now. Oh, I'm in the wrong one. Scorching heat is a supernatural act, not a natural one. Okay, because that is something that will hope happen over time, whereas now all of a sudden the scorching heat comes. It's like fire burning. You know, if you get close to a fire, what happens? You start to like, oh, no, wait, let me move away a bit. But imagine you can't and you have to stay there. Think of the guys in the book of Daniel, how some of them got burned just standing outside the fire. So it's this hectic fire from the sun that's just coming and it's really going to burn people. I don't know if you have a sunburn. I have had that. It's terrible. Now imagine it's 10 times worse. How your body will respond to that. How sore that is. Okay, so that's the fifth one. You know that's not water. Still have sores in your body. You know, it's not something that you necessarily want to experience, is it? They said the fourth trumpet judgment had darkened the sun. But this judgment increases the sun's intensity. Okay, so they say also before the people, where they say, and they scorch the people, there's an article in the Greek which points to the fact that it's just the people with the mark of the beast. Just imagine this. There's a sun scorching people, but it's just the people with the mark of the beast. In other words, this is supernatural because there's people who's not getting burned. It's only the people with the mark of the beast that is going to get burned. Now, when you look at the next verse, you will see this. It says, they were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. What does it mean if they say they cursed, the name of God? They knew it was him. They know, they acknowledge that there is a God. But they are now cursing him because he's bringing their plagues instead of repenting from their sin. So I like this interpretation of the, or just a statement of this one guy. And he said, deserved judgment, listen, deserved judgment can harden a hard heart even more. As it did in Pharaoh's heart as well. So there's deserved judgment. Now, I totally get this, especially when I was a teenager. You know, you are naughty. You do not listen. Now there's judgment. Now you're even angrier, is there a word like that? You know, because, like, it's not me, and it's you who's hurting me, but the thing is, I'm not getting to that place with, oh, actually, sorry. I was wrong. It's me who's wrong. And I turn around. So you see here that this deserved judgment is taking people who's already hard and making it harder. And so they do not want to repent and give God glory. Okay. So they also say, as God's judgments increase, the deep-seated hatred of man comes to the surface. Their true hatred for God is now manifested instead of being hidden. Okay, so you can see what's happening here. All these plagues and things happen. There's just hatred growing in the people towards God. Okay, it's going to get worse as we go on. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. On the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. Some people interpret this as literal darkness, and I tend to also go in that direction because of the literal darkness in Egypt, because of the literal darkness when Jesus died on the cross, you know, and the other plague, there was also darkness. Other people say, no, it's maybe just the kingdom or there's some difficulty that comes on the beast and the kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom. But they say the people gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. So you will see they're going to say that. Interesting that the darkness now is causing pain. So dark, and it's causing pain. Now, okay, they still have sores. They have the scorching heat. Now, if everything is dark, life is just difficult, isn't it? Just ask Eskom, right? When the moment the lights goes off, everything is more difficult to do. Now you're living in constant darkness. So all these things that's just coming on is just making things worse. Now, one of the interpreters just said, part of this darkness includes like spiritually demonic stuff. Okay, so not only is it darkness in the fact that there's no light, but there's no light in the sense of spiritual light. So demonically, it's painful. Imagine, all you think of is these things in your head. You know how we can go on in our heads with lies and things. It can be really painful. Oh, I'm such a bad person. Oh, I'm such a loser, or whatever it might be. And how we speak to each other, and it's just so painful. But then we have this demonic tormentation also. Dreams. And so that's how some people interpret this. They said the darkness in Egypt lasted 3 days. And it could be felt. Okay. So in Exodus, it says that darkness was felt. And that's what I was just trying to say, how we as people, darkness is not something that we like and that we have to live in. So here's now constant darkness. Then we get to verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Okay, many interpretations on this, but just interesting enough that that river has never dried up. Okay, so there will come a time when this is poured out, when that river will dry up. Why is it so significant? Like, you know, if we didn't know, then we'll be like, just the river. It's already full of blood, but now it's dried up. What's the big deal? But this is a very significant political influence. This is like a border, okay? And it says now that now the kings from the east can come through. So now the river is gone, so now the kings from the east can come and they can either join the army that is now being built up, as we're going to learn now, at the place of Armageddon, or they want to fight against them if they have been the guys who resisted the mark of the beast. Okay, so there's a lot of interpretations happening here. But interesting enough, just a fact, they said, presently some of the sections of the river are dried at certain times of the year due to dams that Iraq has built to create reservoirs. Okay? And they use this water to generate power in the Middle East. So they say, imagine there's that, then there's really no light in that area because there won't be any way to generate light. When the river is dried up, even if it's blood river. Okay. Guys, we can go in so much more detail with this. And if you go and search a bit further, you'll get so much from this. But if we go there, we'll never get to any of the other things. So I encourage you, if you want to study that further, there's guys who literally just sit on this verse and check the river, Euphrates River. Like literally, that's what they do. Okay, so verse 13 says, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon. What's the dragon again? The devil. And the beast, and the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The beast is the Antichrist, and then you have the false prophet, which was the other beast, do you remember, that came from the earth. So one came from the sea, one came from the earth. And so this is the first time that they actually call the beast from the earth, the false prophet. Remember, we said it's the false prophet, but now it's the first time that they called it the false prophet. Three unclean spirits, like frogs, came from their mouths. I'm just going to read verse 14 also. For they are demonic spirits, performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Okay, so if we just read verse 13, we'll be like, okay, so there's spirits like frogs coming from the mouth. But when we go on, they say they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. So what is happening here? There is, because they are speaking, they are proclaiming things, and the demonic goes, and this is what we are... what we see in, actually, Paul speaks about in 2 Thessalonians. And he says that there's going to be lies and deceptions. there's going to be delusions. Okay? So they say these demonic spirits are performing signs. Okay? And remember the false prophet, what the false prophet wants you to believe something, to follow something, but what isn't true. Okay? And this is exactly, it's like going to the kings, performing signs. Okay, come. And what is happening here? They want to fight the battle of the greater of God Almighty. In other words, the big aim here is to say, come, let's destroy Jesus. Can you do that? No, you can't. But this is the delusion, these lies that we actually are going to take on the King of Kings, the great day, that battle. So just imagine that lies, deceptions, and that's why this is an ugly picture. Is a frog a nice thing? If you think a frog is beautiful, sorry. But if there's a frog coming out of your mouth, it's not ugly. Well, don't call God's creation ugly, but, you know, it's unclean. Let me say that. And so these spirits are going out, telling these lies, getting them to come and fight against God's army. Okay. And of course, there's a lot of things happening here. We can again link it to the Egyptian with the Pharaoh and the frogs and all those kind of things. But as long as you get the picture, that is just lies and deceptions and performing and getting people to follow them. And then all of a sudden, there's a break again in this chapter. And who's speaking here in verse 15? Jesus. And Jesus is saying, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Jesus saying, hey, can I just encourage you? I am coming. And some interpreters, like for the saints, the believers, we know Jesus is coming. But there's people who don't know. So behold, you don't know. But for those who have the garments, watch out that you do not lose your garments. Now, interesting story, Jesus' time at the temple, there were always guards standing outside the temple. And interesting, if you fell asleep as a guard outside the temple, they took you and they burned your garments. And this is literally what he's saying. Do not fall asleep and lose your garments and be naked and ashamed. Okay, so basically just reminding us who's reading this, I am coming back. Don't give up now. Are you listening? Are you seeing what's happening here? That do not, it's like the virgins. How many virgins? The 10 virgins. 5 who had oil, 5 who didn't have the oil. Do not lose your garments. Okay, and I'm like, why did Jesus have to speak here? I mean, we're learning about the bowls being poured out. Why did he have to speak here? He's like, do not give up. Do not stop following me. Do not like burn your garment because you're getting tired. Because I am coming like a thief in the night. Okay, and then we see there, blessed is the one who stays awake. Blessed is the one. Remember we said there's I think 6 or 7 Beatitudes, 7 in Revelation. The first one was in the first chapter. Blessed is the one who hears this and does it, and you know, that one. And the second one was in chapter 14. I actually read it. He said, blessed are the dead who died in the Lord from now on. Okay, so we're going to learn a few more of those as we go on. Are you all still awake? We're running through this. Okay, verse 16. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Okay? Now, guys, when you hear that word, don't think about the movie Armageddon. I'm leaving. Was it that place? Anyway, was it that place? Okay, so that's not Armageddon speaking about. So, the Hebrew word for Armageddon is Har Megiddon, Megiddo or something like that. It's a hill, okay? So the hill's name is Megiddo, okay? And it's in the northern part of Israel. And so basically what it means, the place is like where they're going to assemble. table. So some people say, so now remember they have this big assembly, they're calling all the kings, we're going to gather this big fight against to destroy Jesus or this God that's bringing these plagues, okay? And so the plain there at Megiddo is actually too small to have these hundreds of thousands of people there, but that's the assembly point. And some people believe that for 3.5 years, people are going to assemble there, build up this army. You know, and you can almost see like a movie in your head, all these plagues, but you're building up this army. We're going to destroy this God that is doing all these things. Is that how you say it? So, that's a Hebrew name. You're right. Okay, and it literally means mountain, but it also means place of troops or place of slaughter. Okay, you can go read more into that. Let's go to verse 17. The seventh angel poured out his bowl on the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." So many people interpret this like he poured out his bowl into the air, so now it affects everything, okay? And they say that when it says, now it is done, it means that everything is done. The seals are done, the trumpets are done, the bowls are done. The plagues are done now, okay? I like what this one guy said. He said, men would not have the Savior's "it is finished." Remember when Jesus was on the cross? On Calvary, so they must have the awful "it is done" from the judge. In other words, it's done. There's no more time. Okay, my mercy, my plagues, they are done now. In verse 18, it says, and there were flashes of lightning, rumbling, spills of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into 3 parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon, the great, to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of the wrath, of his wrath. Great earthquake like they haven't not been before. Okay? It's splitting the great city, which in this case is Jerusalem, into 3. In Revelation, it also speaks about Babylon, the great city. But now it also says it also, the Babylon falls, the nations fall because of this great earthquake. And I think it's the next verse that says, and every island fled away and no mountains were to be found. In the other plague, when there was also earthquake, remember, the mountains was moved from their place. Now it says the mountains are not found, islands are not found. So there's a massive shaking happening, earthquake. So the mountains fall, the islands are removed, and some people believe that it's a massive flood that just covers all the islands. But whatever happens, I'm not a nature interpreter person, what do you say? Anyways. Here we see that now also Babylon is falling. Okay, this is the first picture that we get of Babylon the Great falling. Now remember we said previously that Babylon can be interpreted as a city, but also as a picture of coming against what God is doing. Okay. Do you remember that? Okay. We're doing good. I thought we're not going to make it. Then we get to verse 21. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each. How much is that? 45 kilograms. Fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. Now just imagine, I was carrying, Jonathan the other day, he's 15 kilograms. He's big, eh? Jonathan, poor kid, you know. So now imagine 45 kilograms falling from the sky in balls. Hail, I mean, your car is gone when that thing falls on it. Okay, and so some people say they interpret this like it's like stoning happening. Remember when they stoned people in the Old Testament, when they stoned Stephen in the New Testament, And they said, it's like a stoning happening here on earth. And then that is where it stops. That's where this, remember, there was no chapters, hey, in the original transcript of the Bible. And so for the next few chapters, we're going to learn about how Babylon is falling. And the great fall will happen in chapter 19. But this chapter was about all these bowls being poured out. This is the final bowls being poured out. It's quite an interesting picture. But what we should get here today again is that the bowls being poured out is not a place of hatred. I don't know why I can't get over that. It's not a place of, I hate you, I'm going to destroy you, people. I hate you, I'm going to destroy you, Satan. Don't get that wrong. If there's something that you can hate, it's Satan, okay? Please don't feel sorry for him. Please don't get at that place where you're like, yo, Lord, why don't you look after Satan? No. If those thoughts come, then you must know it's lies. The other thing that I get from here is that there's going to be lies and deceptions coming, okay? And I just quickly want to end off with this. This morning we were praying, and we were praying about the mind. And lies comes in quickly. And this is what the enemy uses. Remember, he's the deceiver. He is a liar. And so for us to know today that even in the great, like end times, that is going to be his technique, is to lie and to deceive. And that we can learn now already is that Satan lies and deceives you. He wants to lie and deceive you. So you are going to have lies in your head about who you are, about who God is. Because if he can just give you to believe something that is not true, then he has you. Okay? And so for us to be vigilant to those lies, but the way that we can do that is to be in the Word and to listen to the Spirit. Okay, I said it on Sunday. You cannot just listen to the Spirit and not read the Word. I've had people like that in my life that got very offended when I said to them, you cannot just listen to the Spirit. No, but the Spirit tells me what to do. I'm like, do you read your Bible? No. No, sorry. You know, if you do not know the Word, how do you know you're listening to the right Spirit? You know, so in that sense, we need to be very vigilant to what we listen to and what we allow to come in, because those things can deceive us. I think Nikki and I were speaking about this yesterday. You know, the things that people are in and surrounded by, that becomes the norm. And so it's like, there's nothing wrong with this. No, you're deceived now because you're not in the Word and listening to the Spirit. Anyways, I don't want to preach. So for the next few weeks, we're going to get into Babylon. Okay. It's like, can we just get to the good part, you know? But, but I think, yeah. You can go read over this again and please study it if you want to study this further. There's a lot in just this one chapter, but we can get caught up in, is the Euphrates drying up? Maybe Jesus is coming. You know, to not get caught up in those things, but just to see what is God showing us here. Okay, it's interesting to study it, but don't get caught up in it, that becomes your main thing that you're just listening to or whatever. Okay, so let's pray, and if you want to just remember your hats next week, and maybe just share with one or two people. A vessel, Melanie says, I must tell you, no more bald head coming here next week. You must wear a hat, okay? I'm joking. I'm lying. So we're going to have a spring, I don't know, celebration next week, and everyone must wear a spring hat. So that one doesn't qualify. Yes. And we're going to have some cake. It's a good reason to be here because it's Melanie's birthday next week, Sunday. Yes, please. Don't be controversial.
That thing about judgment coming upon sin. You have to look at the ways of God. Not just only the deeds of God, the ways of God. The ways of God, God's a holy God. And all his ways are holy. God's also a God of love, and all his ways are love. And God's also a God of righteousness and of judgment. So all his deeds, whatever he does, never conflicts with his nature. Never. So we can say, well, he's killing all those people. But that is part of his nature, not to kill people, but to destroy sin. When they moved into the promised land, Israel did, they had to destroy everything, like Jericho was the first place. They had to destroy that. Why? Because they had temple prostitutes. So if you went to go and worship, one method of worship was to have intercourse with a prostitute. That was part of their worship. Or they would sacrifice their children because they needed rain. And so they were told, because the gods they served were fertility gods. And so God destroyed all of that because of his nature, not because of his hatred towards them. Well, he does hate sin, obviously, but because of his nature. So I just wanted to just add that.
Thanks, Wessel. That's really good.